So I guess we'll go to Vayikra, or the book of Leviticus, chapter 16, verse 1, because that's where Yom Kippur is, mostly. And here we see that Adonai spoke to Moses after the death of the two sons of Aaron, when they offered profane fire before Adonai and died. So Aaron's sons, Nadab and Abihu, made an inappropriate incense offering, which we call profane fire, and they died. Now Aaron must make an appropriate incense offering. He must make a sweet incense in order to live upon entering the Holy of Holies. If you take a look at verse 12, then he shall take a censer full of burning coals of fire from the altar before Adonai, with his hands full of sweet incense, beaten fire, and bring it inside the veil. Only the Almighty's way of coming into his presence will be acceptable, because it will foreshadow the ultimate high priest, Messiah Yeshua, as he entered into his heavenly tabernacle. Hebrews 9:11 says, "And Messiah came as high priest of the good things to come, with the greater and more perfect tabernacle, not made with hands, that is, not of this creation." Aaron does not wear his priestly garments to perform any of the services connected with the Holy of Holies. Verse 4 of chapter 16, "He shall put the holy linen tunic and the linen trousers on his body. He shall be girded with a linen sash, and with linen turban he shall be attired. These are holy garments. Therefore he shall wash his body in water and put them on." And they were white. They were white. For now, Aaron has set aside his elaborate garments, noted specifically for their beauty. Exodus 28:2 says, "And you shall make holy garments for Aaron your brother for glory and for beauty." He's going to set them aside for now, for today. This foreshadows what Yeshua did for us, as he removed his robes of authority and put on garments of humility. Philippians 2:5 and 6 and 7. "Messiah Yeshua, who being in the form of God, did not consider it robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, taking the form of a bondservant and coming in the likeness of man." The white linen clothing represents his purity. He was not contaminated by the sin of Adam. The sin of Adam has created a huge gulf between our Creator and us, or man. Thus, through the Levitical priesthood, God intended to give his people a shadow picture of Yeshua's future redemptive work as the high priest from the order of Melchizedek. Yeshua the Messiah was perfect, and he needed no atonement. Hebrews 7:26. "For such a high priest was fitting for us, who is holy, harmless, undefiled, separate from sinners, and has become higher than the heavens, who does not daily, as those high priests, to offer up sacrifices first for his own sins and then for the people's. For this he did once and for all when he offered up himself." Although he was a high priest, Aaron was still a sinner. He needed to atone for himself before he could continue the rituals for this special day. And so in verse 6, it says that Aaron shall offer up a bull as a sin offering, which is for himself, and make atonement for himself and for his house. Only after he could do the sin offering was he able to be the shadow picture of the one who was without sin, Yeshua, who was the only one who was qualified to make complete atonement for others. Aaron was required to offer two goats for atonements. Verse 5, "And he shall take from the congregation of the children of Israel two kids of the goats as a sin offering." In verse 7, "He shall take the two goats and present them before God at the door of the tabernacle of meeting. Then Aaron shall cast lots for the two goats, one lot for Adonai and the other lot for Azazel. Then Aaron shall bring the goat on which Adonai's lot fell and offer it as a sin offering." Both goats picture a part of the redemptive work that Yeshua accomplished for us. The first goat on which the lot fell for Adonai was slain, and its blood was sprinkled on the Holy of Holies. This goat represents God's righteousness, which is now attributed to us. The offering brought atonement for all the people and for all the errors made over the past year in God's tabernacle. Verse 16, so Aaron make atonement for the holy place because of the uncleanliness of the children of Israel and because of their transgressions for all their sins. He may make atonement for himself, for his household, and for all the assembly of Israel. Next, the goat on which the lot for Azazel fell was presented. Verse 20, and when he was made an end of atoning for the holy place, the tabernacle of meeting, and the altar, he shall bring the live goat. The Sunsino Pentateuch, a Jewish publication, says the Azazel goat of Leviticus 16:10, it says that that's the word scapegoat, as used in King James Version, is a poor translation. And it should be rendered as dismissal. In the Septuagint, it is translated as the one to be sent away, which agrees with the terms used in the Mishnah. Azazel is not a proper name, but a rare Hebrew noun. It comes from Ayin Zion, Lamed Zion Lamed, which we contract to Ayin Zion Aleph Zion Lamed, which means dismissal or entire removal. It is the technical term for the entire removal of sin and guilt of the community that was symbolized by the sending away of the goat into the wilderness. There is some difference of opinion as to the symbolic meaning of the Azazel goat. Some say it is a picture of Satan, who initially tempted man to sin or rebel against Elohim and has been doing so ever since. Since he was the first sinner and rebel against Elohim and has constantly incited man in this sin and rebellion ever since, he must consequently bear the responsibility for his actions, which he will do when he is bound and thrown into the bottomless pit at the beginning of the millennium. The Azazel goat being dismissed in the wilderness is a picture of this. On the other side, there are those who teach that the Azazel goat is a picture of Yeshua, who bore our sins upon himself and died alone in our place. Which view is correct? Well, if you know Jewish people, both of them, sort of. The most important key to determining who this goat represents is found in verse 10. But the goat on which the lot fell for Azazel shall be set alive before Adonai to make atonement over him, to send him away for Azazel into the wilderness. Who made atonement for our sins? Satan or Yeshua? Scripture does not reveal the devil as the redeemer of mankind, does it? Not in my book. Only Yeshua was our atonement. And we could look at some scriptures and see that. Romans 5:11. And not only so, but we also joy in Elohim through our Master Yeshua the Messiah, by whom we have now received the atonement. In Hebrews 1:3, who being the brightness of his glory and express image of his person and upholding all things by the word of his power when he had himself purged our sins, sat down at the right hand of majesty on high. Hebrews 7:27, who needeth not daily as those high priests to offer up sacrifice first for his own sins and then for the people's. For this he did once when he offered up himself. And finally, Hebrews 9:26, for then must he often have suffered since the foundation of the world, but now once in the end of the world hath he appeared to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. So it goes and says a lot about that, doesn't it? Furthermore, the act of laying on hands in verse 21 to the Azazel goat symbolizes the transference of sins from the guilty party, which is the children of Israel, to the innocent goat, Azazel. The innocent becomes now the sin bearer. Where have we seen that? Of course, who can deny that this is a perfect picture of Yeshua, our Messiah? Not Hasatan. Spiritually, the Azazel goat represents the entire removal of sin's defilement from the camp of Israel into the wilderness. In Psalm 103, verse 12, Elohim removes our sin from us as far as the east is from the west. Adonai does this, not Satan. As far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed our transgression from us. In Leviticus 16:22, we read, "And the goat shall bear upon him all their iniquities unto a land not inhabited, and he shall let the goat go in the wilderness." Throughout Scripture, there are numerous references to Yeshua, who's bearing our sins. Isaiah 53:6, "All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to our own way, and God hath laid on him the iniquity of us all." 53:12, "Therefore I will divide him a portion with the great, and he shall divide the spoil with the strong, because he has poured out his soul unto death, and he was numbered with transgressors, and he bore the sins of many and made intercession for the transgressors." Hebrews 9:28, "So Messiah was once offered to bear the sins of many, and unto them that look for him shall he appear the second time without sin unto salvation." And 1 Peter 2:24, "Who his own self bore our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, being dead to sins, should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes we are healed." I believe the Azazel goat had a secondary meaning also. Though it doesn't outrightly represent Satan, but Yeshua, we will see that our Savior, while hanging on the cross, represented sin in its totality and its extreme. And so for a brief moment took on the image of the serpent himself. He took on all the sins of the world. He must have looked just like the serpent when he did. Yeshua said of himself in John 3:14, "And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up." In Scripture, the serpent is a picture of HaSatan, the adversary. In Leviticus 16:8, we see that as the two goats stood before the high priest, one on his right hand and one on his left, the lots would be cast, and one would become the Azazel goat, and one would be the goat that would be sacrificed in the tabernacle sanctuary itself. An interesting note that may have a bearing here: Hebraically, the right hand is the hand of strength, of power, and of judgment, while the left hand is the hand of mercy and grace. Matthew Henry says that both goats refer to a different aspect of Yeshua's atonement. He says, "Thus Yeshua was prefigured by the two goats, which made both one offering. The slain goat was the type of Messiah dying for our sins, the scapegoat a type of Messiah rising up again for our justification, after which the entrance into heaven which Messiah made for us here is typified by the high priest's entrance into the most holy place." He doesn't explain just how the goat going in the wilderness typifies Yeshua's redeeming us, but I should like to offer an alternative in this regard. Perhaps the Azazel goat represented Yeshua's soul descending into hell and therefore taking the keys of death. For Messiah, 1 Peter 3:18, "also suffered once for sins, for the just and the unjust, that he might bring us to Elohim, being put to death in the flesh, made alive by the Spirit, by whom also he went and preached to the spirits in prison, who formerly were disobedient, when once the divine long-suffering waited in the days of Noah, while the ark was being prepared, in which a few, that is, eight souls, were saved through water." And Revelation 1:18, "I am he who lives and was dead, and was dead, and behold, I am alive forevermore. Amen. And I have the keys of Hades and of death." So Yom Kippur is a day when God's judgment upon the earth will occur prior to the second coming of Yeshua the Messiah, culminating in a battle at a place called Megiddo. It is the day when the beast and the false prophet are thrown into the lake of fire. It's the day that Satan will be judged and cast into a bottomless pit. It is a time when God will have the last word on man's 6,000 rebellious and sinful years here on earth. It is a time when rewards and punishment are meted out to humans. The time that Babylon the Great is judged and destroyed. The earth is cleansed and readied for Messiah, to touch down upon the Mount of Olives. The restitution of all things spoken about in Acts 3, verse 21 occurs. All these things must occur before Yeshua the Messiah can bring peace to the earth and establish his world-ruling kingdom. Those who would oppose his sovereign rule must be eliminated. Righteousness will prevail. So let me summarize a bit here. Everything done by the high priest on Yom Kippur was a shadow of the redemptive work of our Messiah Yeshua. There were extra sacrifices necessary for Aaron to perform, since he was not sinless compared to Yeshua. Of the two goats, the goat dedicated to Adonai was a picture of the innocent who paid the price. But payment for sin was only the first step. Adonai intended for his people to become a righteous dwelling fit for a king. That's what his people are supposed to do. Become a righteous dwelling fit for a king. The second goat, therefore, carried away those sins, which had polluted his people and his tabernacle. As we recall that the work has been done. As we recall that the tabernacle is a picture of his unified body, we once more see his desire for unity and purity. The work has been done. Now, it's just up to us to live it. That's the rest of the story, if you read the rest of Leviticus. Amen? It'll tell you how to do that. All right.